The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I shouldn't tell you this, but Eric hired someone who sounds just like him to host today's show. But since I'm the announcer, they told me, so I'm telling you, don't be fooled. The real Eric's in jail.
Hey, how about that Kevin Sorbo?
Kevin Sorbo.
Come on. All right, that's all I have to say. All right, so Kevin Sorbo, now I always wonder, because I have a weird sense of humor. Some people get me, some people don't. And we get all these emails and comments and things. And it's obvious that some people don't know when I'm kidding. Or maybe some people are new to me and they're not used to my sense of humor. But when I said to Kevin Sorbo in the last hour about, you know, that they were going to cast me in the film that he is talking about right now, I wasn't kidding.
Yeah.
They sent me the script.
I remember that. Yeah.
And I said to my agent, I want some parts. What can you get me? No, actually, that's a joke. Kevin Sorbo sent me the script, and my schedule, it wouldn't work out. So yeah. I literally had to pass up a role in the movie that I've been discussing with Kevin Sorbo. And it's eating me up inside, people. It's eating me up. It's eating me up. It's killing me. Because I could have been a star.
Yeah.
And I could have been Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, and my studio wouldn't release me.
I was supposed to be your stunt double, your stand-in, whatever, and then I lost a job.
You lost a job because I do all my own stunts.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I'm the Gene Kelly of our day. Mm. I do all my own stunts. Mm. I just want to be clear with people. Like, I joke around a lot.
I thought that was Jackie Chan.
But sometimes, and he also does his own stunts. And Tom Cruise claims to do his stunts. But anyway, seriously... that was just, I thought, man, that would have been so much fun. So maybe in the future, Kevin or someone will do a film.
Yeah.
We'll be interviewing Pastor Greg Laurie about the film Jesus Revolution.
Yeah.
And, I can't be in that film either because they already shot it and released it.
Yeah.
What a pity.
Oh.
I would have made the best Lonnie Frisbee.
Well, and it takes place like in the 70s, so you'd have to have the mutton chops and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, and those are tough to grow.
They are.
Yeah. You got to really work the ground and use a lot of fertilizer. Okay, so in this hour, we're talking to Myra Adams, but I got to catch up the audience on some things that have been happening lately. There's a lot going on. I have to say, this is the first time I've ever been challenged to keep it all straight. Number one, we as you all know, we did a Christmas special on TBN a couple of years ago. And we're talking about doing some more specials. I don't know if it's going to work out. Frankly, I don't think TBN can afford me. But in all seriousness, we're hoping that we can do this. So we're going to keep you posted if we can figure that out, because that's just fun. We believe in having fun, number one. Number two, I mentioned yesterday Dutch Sheets. Dutch Sheets does a devotional called Give Him 15. And he does it every day. And then when he says, give him 15, it's capital H. Give Jesus 15 minutes. It's a devotional. And somebody yesterday morning, as I was waking up from my sleep-deprived stupor, several people, my wife and others, texted me or emailed me that Dutch Sheets had featured my book, Letter to the American Church, in his devotional.
Yeah.
And I went to it. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is really wonderful because, listen, when somebody that you really love and admire, like Dutch Sheets, sees what you see, it's encouraging. And the book, as a result of Dutch's encomia, and not just encomia, but promotion, It dropped like a stone into the top 100 yeah. on Amazon. Now, obviously, most people, I think, are maybe buying it at other places like ChristianBook.com. And, you know, there's a lot of places where you can buy it. And people, when they ask me, I say just go to EricMetaxas.com because there's a lot of options there. But this is not about selling books. This is about getting the word out
yeah.
that if we – who claim to be Christians. Now, if you don't claim to be a Christian, folks, you're off the hook. I'm aiming this at those who claim to be a Christian. And what I'm saying in the book, which is unfortunately true, is that the Christians in Germany made the same mistake in the 1930s as Hitler was coming to power as we are making today. And you never see what's coming. You know, it's easy for us to say, well, it was Hitler. That's a different story. Wrong. They didn't know what yeah. Hitler was bringing to them. There was nobody talking about death camps. They weren't talking about the final solution. This was before anybody understood what was happening. And so that's part of what makes you blind to what's happening is you say, well, we can't compare this to anything. This has never happened before. And what's happening in America now is similarly difficult to process. Now, there are some people who see it. Bonhoeffer was one of those people, and he tried to wake up the church. And what I'm saying now is that those of us who see it now are trying to use what Bonhoeffer said to help wake up the church today. Yes. So the book is Letter to the American Church, and I am so grateful to Dutch Sheets. It is really extraordinary. Because I think once people read it, the book, which is the shortest book I ever wrote, they will understand. It's not really like I'm trying to make a biblical case. I'm not trying to say, hey, here I got some thoughts. I'm trying to say this is what happened historically. This is what the Bible says, and we're going to be in big trouble if we don't wake up. Because the German church was in big trouble. In case you missed what happened in the Holocaust, they kind of missed it, and it kind of is it unleashed evil. So we're talking about some seriously high stakes. Okay.
Yes.
On a more positive note,
please be.
Actually, that is a positive note because I think people are waking up. And yeah. I spoke about the subject of Letter to the American Church both in Portland, Oregon – sorry, in Longview, Washington mm-hmm. at Father's House Church, wonderful church in Longview, Washington, Father's House, and in Calvary Chapel, San Jose. So I think the word is getting out and I'm encouraged. Yeah. But last night we premiered – our second of four premieres every Tuesday night this month. We're premiering on video on YouTube one of the Socrates in City events that we filmed in the fall. Last night we premiered the James Tour video, which we shot in Houston. And I guess it's worth saying that I wrote my book, Is Atheism Dead?, because of my initial conversations with James Tour. I said, what he is saying, but which he's kind of incapable of saying to a popular audience because he's such a genius, I said, this needs to get out to the regular folks. That's us. So that's why I wrote Is Atheism Dead? And that's why we did this event with him last night, to communicate to the people who've never heard of him, who are not in this world. And it has been seen many thousands of times already since last night. So I'm really encouraged by that. And I want to say to everyone who's listening, we cannot announce it yet, but February 28th, we're going to be doing a Socrates in the City event in New York City. It's not – you can't register, and we can't even announce it because people are going to start emailing us. But I'm just letting you know, get ready. Because we've got some things planned. Yeah. We've got things planned throughout the spring.
Yeah.
But have to sign up for the newsletter.
And until then, make sure you set your alarm clock for every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern for SocratesInTheCity.com.
Well, actually, yeah. that's what I was just going to say was that the easy way to do this is go to SocratesInTheCity.com and sign up for the emails, because then you'll get reminders, because you don't want to miss it. It's so much fun. Yeah. It's so wonderful. All right. Now, before we go to Myra Adams.
That's right.
As opposed to Myra Breckinridge, which is one of the worst books or films ever made in the history of literature and film. Myra Adams, we should mention SalemNow.com.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you aware that if you go to salemnow.com, there's a new film there called Innovation Race? Did you know that? Some people said they did, and others said they didn't. Okay, here's another question. Can you tell that I'm wearing a wig? I got, you know, because it's radio, and I can't hear. I don't know. Maybe some people can tell. In any event, go to salemnow.com, check out Innovation Race. While you're there, you get to watch the talk show with Eric Metaxas and Alban Sadar. Now, you have to search for it. So you go to salemnow.com and just put it in, and you'll see it. When we come back, we're talking to the woman who wrote the book about the Bible. For people who don't read the Bible, we'll be right back. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. This new year, resolve to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric or call them at 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Eric. That's patriotmobile.com/Eric or call 972-PATRIOT.
Hey there, sports fans. Actually, it's not a sports show, but I just want to say every now and again, you know, I meet somebody who I bring on the show and I didn't realize that I sort of knew them. We've met in the past. My guest right now, as you will have heard in my introduction, is Myra Khan Adams. And she's written a book called Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible. I don't know what that means. We're going to ask her about that in a minute. But first of all, let me say, Myra, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we have met and we have many mutual friends in common. We were talking about Roger Stone. Roger, did you know that Roger Stone, for a fee, named me to his best dressed of 2022? You can look it up. I paid an exorbitant amount of money to get on that list, far more than I ever would pay for my clothes. But Roger Stone is a friend. I know you guys are down there in Florida. And we met, I think you and I met at the Cal Thomas dinner in Washington, D.C. It's got to be 10 years ago.
Your Bonhoeffer book had just come out.
Right.
You were giving away free copies. And that evening, it was a Cal Thomas media dinner that traditionally happens before the national prayer breakfast.
Right.
And you gave your testimony. It was a beautiful, passionate, heartfelt testimony that night. So how you came to Christ.
Well, it's a true story. It's a miraculous story. God spoke to me in a vision, in a dream. It was like one of those things you read about in a book, but you figure it can't happen to me. Well, it happened to me in 1988, changed my life. I've written about it many times and spoken about it many times, but I'm glad you were there. And we also have another friend, Jonathan Kahn, spelled differently from your middle name.
Right. But he and I believe we are related. He has the C-A-H-N. I have the K-A-H-N.
Right.
But we're both from the old our grandparents are from the old country. And he gave me a little message to tell you when I told him I was going to be on your show.
Uh-oh, I'm scared. And what did he say?
He actually said, I will quote directly. He said, "Eric is a good brother with a unique gift and a passionate heart."
Well, he got that wrong. I'm so dead inside. I'm emotionally just dead. Okay, seriously now, we're joking around. Myra Khan Adams, you've written now two books, Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible, and then Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible, Part 2. So the first question, the obvious question, because Roger Stone raved about you as a Bible teacher, and I thought, why did you title the book Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible? What do you mean by that? What was the impetus for writing a book like that?
Well, I have to go back just a little bit and tell you that the book, the two books now, am I allowed to hold them up or do you have them there?
I've got them right here. Let me hold them up. Let me promote you.
That's the first one. The second one looks just like it, except it says Part 2.
The second one is like unto it.
Same, except Part 2.
You got to use the biblical language. Yes, go ahead.
So your audience has to understand that these books are compilations of my weekly Sunday Bible study that has appeared since February of 2020 on townhall.com. Of course, townhall.com is a Salem-owned website. It is a news website. It's a secular news website.
Right.
So you ask the question, why does townhall.com have a weekly Bible study?
Yeah.
Well, it's a long story, which I won't bore you with, but all I can say is we tried it. It has worked. It developed an audience. And the most important thing is that readers are inspired by it. And it was readers that kept emailing me and making comments on the site that I should put these Bible studies in a book.
First of all, when you use a title like Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible, I wrote three books along similar lines, apologetics, but title is Everything You Always Want to Know About God, But We're Afraid to Ask. Because I think you and I know that there are millions and millions and millions of Americans who feel like, well, I should read the Bible, but they don't know how, or they're afraid to ask their, you know, Jesus freak neighbor who's really religious and preachy because they don't know what they're going to get. But I think a lot of people are curious. Or a lot of people, maybe they've heard really boring Bible teaching or they haven't. So this is a beautiful way in. And I know that when you get a nugget from the Bible that you've never heard before, you just go, how have I never heard that before? And I know your book has tons of stuff like that in it. So where do we start? I mean, what are the kinds of things that you talk about? These are short chapters, intentionally for people we're not going to go super deep. We're going to get a little piece at a time.
Well, because the Bible study appears every Sunday on a secular news site, I'm limited to about 1,000 words. Sometimes I go over a little bit, but it's about 1,000 words. And also it has to be what I'll call clickable because my column appears in a list of op-eds every Sunday.
Right.
So you get your little op-eds and then it's like Bible study.
You're competing with the Hunter Biden laptop, let's face it.
Well, exactly, and everything else. And actually on the site, it's called a quick compelling Bible study. That's actually the name of it on Town Hall. But I actually have the book Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible because the Bible, as we know, is extremely intimidating. And in our culture,
I'm glad for you to say this because a lot of people, a lot of Christians act like that's not the case. All you got to do is read your Bible. What are you talking about? Most people, they crack the Bible and they're instantly mystified. What are they talking about? He lived to be 800 years old. Who's Abimelech? What? It can be very confusing and intimidating. So thank you for saying that.
Right. And in our culture today, you have fewer people that are growing up that have any exposure to the Bible at all. The Bible isn't a part of their life. So people have heard of the Bible, but it's like it's foreign to them because it's something that's sort of for everyone else. It's not for me. It doesn't impact my life. Why should I even bother knowing about the Bible or reading the Bible? It's, you know, it's for those crazies out there. And, you know, what people don't know is how much the Bible is integrated into our common language and lexicon. I'll give you a great example. When the last February, when the war broke out between when Russia invaded Ukraine, oftentimes I heard this several times on major news shows, they would say, this is a David versus Goliath kind of war. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, probably around 80% of the people listening to that have no idea what the David versus Goliath is, what they're even talking about.
I don't think it would be 80%, but I'll give you 30. It's pretty crazy when the most basic ideas in Western history have been forgotten. And most of those are biblical references. And you're right. Tons of people don't get this stuff. I mean, David and Goliath is like the most obvious example, but you're exactly right. We are living sadly in a biblically illiterate generation.
Well, oftentimes, probably the most common one, the common phrase used is Good Samaritan. And I think at least 80% have no idea that even comes from the Bible or even knows what it is. But there's so many of those, you know, fight the good fight, the blind leading the blind, rise and shine. So the point is the Bible has been integrated through language, but
rise
also through
law. Shine. Is rise and shine really in the Bible?
Yes, it is. Yes,
really?
It is. Yeah. In fact, I did one of my studies, I think it's in the first book. Is about all the different common phrases. In fact, we could do a whole show, you know, shameless self-promotion here if you want to have me back.
Sure.
We could do a whole show about all these common phrases. There are so many of them that people have no idea.
Here's one people are going to think I'm joking. Beware of dog. That totally comes from the New Testament. Paul writes, beware of dogs, beware of what, and it became a thing so that people put up the sign, beware of dog, when they actually had, you know, saying beware of my dog or whatever. But that is from the Bible. Tons of stuff from the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
You really can't understand much of the English language, as you're putting it, unless you understand the Bible.
Right. Powers That Be was a famous book, but that's from the Bible. There's so many of them. I was blind, but I can see. You don't even have any idea. So let's, you know, we'll talk about that at some other point. We can spend a whole hour talking about it because it is interesting. But the point is that the Bible has been so integrated into the founding of our country. It's been so integrated into Western civilization, into art and architecture and music and health. And I could go on and on. I mean, there's a great book that was written many years ago by Dr. James D. Kennedy. And he wrote a book, If Jesus Had Never Been Born. You're probably familiar with it. And it just speaks to the fact that Jesus being born and his impact on the world that is just so astounding that, again, the average person has no idea. But we're getting away from the point about why I named it that.
We're going to go to a break.
Title.
When we come back, I'm going to ask that question again. Why did my guest Myra Khan Adams name her book Bible Study? For those who don't read the Bible, we'll be right back.
Well, I'm taking my time. Moving on, you'll forget about me after I've been gone. And I'll take what I find.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. And each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever. Get the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening right now, so don't miss out. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, and get all your shopping done now while quantities last. Again, use code ERIC and save. MyPillow.com.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere.
Welcome back. I'm talking to Myra Khan Adams, who has written the book called Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible. So the first question, Myra, is why is it titled Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible? And
well, I think the average person can relate to that because the average person doesn't read the Bible.
Yeah.
All they know about the Bible is like, it's weird. It's filled with hate speech. It's something that has no relevance to their life. You know, whatever you want to say about it. But the point is most people these days have no idea of how relevant it is to their life.
Yeah, I mean, nothing could be more relevant. That's the great irony. But we need a way in to the Bible. And as I was saying earlier, I think there are a lot of people that they say, oh, just read the Bible, read the Bible. It's the Word of God, read the Bible. That can be nonsense because you can try to read the Bible. I know many people, and it's happened to me at times as well, where you just go, it's not, I can't get into it because I don't know where to start, or I'm confused by something. I want to ask somebody a question. So you need someone to help guide you initially into how fascinating it is. I mean, for example, one thing we can talk about. Now, you are ethnically Jewish. You were raised in a Jewish family.
Yeah, I was born, raised Jewish. My maiden name is Khan. You couldn't get more Jewish than me because my mother's maiden name was Khan. My father's mother's maiden name was Cohen. I mean, basically, the Cohen and Khan, it's all part of the, you know, the Kohath. They were the Jewish high priests, directly descended from Aaron.
So came
my last
out
name
of
is part of that.
A
yes.
Jewish a background, and you could be from a different part of the family, as our mutual friend Jonathan Khan.
Well, we think we are related.
I'm pretty sure he comes from the bearded
name.
He comes from the bearded side of the family, and you come from the non-bearded side. It's very simple. Something complicated about it. Okay,
it's the same name.
But
it's the same name.
To ask you, I have to ask this because we're talking about your book, Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible. But the question of how someone who is raised Jewish comes to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. If you don't mind, how did that happen for you? Because that's a little bit important.
Well, in my Bible study, what makes my Bible studies that I run on Town Hall every Sunday interesting is because they, every week they're different, and I also give some personal testimony integrated within them. And so I have mentioned this a few times, and I'll mention it again. What happened was I was raised in a home, a Jewish home, that they were Jewish, but they were not religious. They were just culturally Jewish. We call them twice-a-year Jews that basically go to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and you know the rest of the year they don't really do anything. So I was raised really Jewish, but not with any religion. But then when I was in college, when I was 20 years old, Jesus came to me. And I don't want to say he came wearing, white clothes with all sorts of gold around him. That's not what happened. It was just more like I felt his presence. And there was over time, this happened over a period of several months. The way I describe it, it was like he put a ring through my nose and just pulled me. And I did not even have a chance to say no, because no was not even an option, because this was what I was to do. I never even questioned it.
This is supernatural. I mean, we have to be honest. There are things that happen to people that are supernatural. My coming to faith around age 25, it was very similar. I mean, it was a total miracle. For other people, it's a much longer process. For other people, it's an intellectual journey. I mean, God works in all kinds of ways. So, but for you, it was just you were somehow inexplicably drawn more and more to Jesus.
I was pulled. I was just pulled, ring to the nose, you're with me. Okay, good. Here's the problem. I had never opened a Bible in my life. I didn't know anything about the Bible. All I knew, the way I described it later to people, is I had faith before I had knowledge. Okay, so I knew nothing about anything with having to do with Jesus, the Bible, heritage, nothing. All I knew is I was born Jewish. I was a Hebrew school dropout, as I like to say. And I knew nothing. So over the years, I started attending a Bible study at the church that I attended for about 18 years, Christ Church in Old Town Alexandria. And we had a Bible study there that I used to go to. And that's when I started getting interested in the Bible.
But did your family get upset at you? I mean, this is an amazing thing for a young woman raised Jewish with the name Khan to suddenly say that I'm walking to Jesus. I belong to Jesus.
Yes.
How did they respond?
Well, because they weren't religious, but they were culturally Jewish. So as a result, they weren't happy. But what's interesting is many years later, my mother, of course, was always trying to figure this out. And she said, you know, Myra, the reason why we weren't so upset when you, you know, became a, you know, a Jesus person and when you were in college was because we thought it was just a college thing that you would grow out of, which I thought was great. And from a mother's perspective, it made perfect sense. But it didn't. It grew and grew and grew. And I could never figure out why the Lord chose me to follow him. I never figured it out. But what happened, let's see, this was in probably the late 1980s, when I was at Christ Church. And they had a prayer. They had a prayer meeting. It was like a prayer study. And so they said, you know, had this prayer exercise. Jesus is in your neighborhood. He's coming to your house. He's going to be there in about 5 minutes. What are you going to ask him? Like, okay, I know what I'm going to ask him. It's like, why me? Why'd you pick me? So sure enough, they said, okay, he's walking the neighborhood. Knock, knock, knock. He's at your door. Okay, he opens the door. What are you going to say to him? I said, Jesus, why me? And the answer instantly came. And it's really amazing what he said to me is that you had gifts and talents that I needed to develop.
Whoa. We're going to pause there.
That was pretty amazing.
I wasn't expecting that. We're going to be right back. Folks, I'm talking to Myra Khan Adams. The book is Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible. Don't go away. With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric. That's inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Praise the Lord. That's just something I like to say. I'm talking to my new friend, Myra Khan Adams, who's someplace down there in Florida. And Myra, you just shared something really a little bit amazing. You said that you were asked in this Bible study, whatever, if Jesus was coming like in 5 minutes, whatever, what would you ask him? And you asked him, Jesus, why did you pick me? Like, why did you draw me to yourself? Because you knew that it was kind of supernatural. There's no other way to explain it. And he said, because you had gifts that he wanted to develop. I mean, just so interesting to me that I mean, how did you hear that, if you know what I'm saying? Like when you
– I heard it instantly because that was interesting in this prayer exercise where they said Jesus is coming to your neighborhood. He's going to be at your house in 5 minutes. He's going to knock on your door. What are you going to ask him? Instantly, I knew what I was going to ask him. I mean, other people were probably thinking, oh, I don't know what I'm going to ask him. I was just like, I know what I'm going to ask him because it made no sense to me why Jesus had chosen me. Okay, I'm a flawed person, absolutely a flawed sinner, have not led, a Jesus kind of life, and I'm a human. So, why he chose me, I was always confused about that because I wasn't really that religious either. I started attending. I was attending Episcopal Church at the time. But you wouldn't call me a, real religious person. So the person I am today is very different than I was when he first came to me when I was in college in the 70s, I'm dating myself, but also in the 80s when he answered that question. So it's been a long, long journey. And because I am a flawed human being, Jesus uses flawed human beings. We know that.
Actually, it's the only kind he does use, and that's a trick because we're all flawed. So it's the only kind he can use is if we're flawed. But it's good if we know we're flawed. Then he can really use us. If you don't know you're flawed, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a pride issue. I still have to ask you, when you talk about being – ethnically Jewish. Your maiden name is Kahn, K-A-H-N. There's so many people that doesn't compute. They think, wait a minute, Jews don't believe in Jesus as Messiah, whatever. You obviously did. But there can be such hostility from some Jews toward the idea of Jews for Jesus, Jews who have accepted Jesus. And you talk in one of these books, because we're talking about your books, Bible Study, for those who don't read the Bible, about how Isaiah 53 is not read in most synagogues. Here you have one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And at some point, rabbinical scholars or Jewish leaders decided to omit Isaiah 53. I know that's in your book, but can you talk about that a minute? Because it's an amazing thing.
Yes, and you know who else was influenced by Isaiah 53? Was Jonathan Kahn. In fact, in one of my Bible studies, and it's in the second book. I believe it's volume number 94, either 93 or 94, where Jonathan, I had him as a guest in my Bible study, and he talks about Isaiah 53. It's very powerful because you can't read it without thinking, this describes Jesus to a T. And what the rabbis say is that it's describing Israel. That's their way when they are asked about it, that's their answer. It's describing Israel as opposed to Jesus.
Well, it can be describing both. I mean, there are many things in prophecy that are describing two and five things at the same time and things that happened once but will happen again. But the idea that they omit it from their readings, that is really very telling, I have to say.
Yes. Some Orthodox Jew who I happen to know gave me a long-winded answer why they do that. But I don't recall it now, but they don't read it. And they try to just downplay it as much as possible. I mean, you could say, yes, there is some parts of it you could say relate to Israel. But for the most part, the average person reading that is going to think, wow, that sounds like Jesus. It's hard not to read it without thinking of Jesus.
Before Elon Musk, Twitter labeled it misinformation. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. Okay, so we're talking about your books, Bible Study, for those who don't read the Bible. Give us an example of one of the chapters in here that, something that somebody might not know, or somebody might say, well, I don't read the Bible, but what's in the Bible that I should know?
Okay. Before I answer that, let me just backtrack a minute, because these Bible studies that are in my book appear every Sunday on townhall.com. So they are not written like a typical Bible study. Oh, today we're going to study Matthew for the next month. Every week I write about something different. So the Bible studies themselves are not connected at all. So you can go from I call it volume, like, volume 10 to volume, 50 to volume, 112. Every one of them is completely different and not related to the ones before or after. So each one has its own lesson, I shift between the Old Testament and the New Testament. One thing I do try to do all the time is make it easy to read, easy explainable, non-intimidating, and personal and chatty, so people will want to keep reading it. And they don't have to read, you know, starting at page one and going to the end.
They can dip in, and that's the way. That's the way people.
They can pick up this book anywhere. They can pick up anywhere they want and go from, you know, one page to the other page and find whatever title they want. Because I flip between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sometimes I do a topic, like for instance, what the Bible says about water. You know, what the Bible says about heaven, what the Bible says about dogs, which people were not happy about that one because the Bible doesn't speak highly of dogs, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, but that's
so it's all
that was before my dog came into the world.
I got more negative feedback about what the Bible says about dogs than probably anyone that ever written. But each one is very, very different. So all I can say is that the main connectors between them all is Jesus is the star of my Bible studies. And I try to let people understand that the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. I try to make connections between the Old and the New Testament.
Once you start seeing that, folks, you're in trouble. Your days are numbered if you don't believe in Jesus as Messiah. Once you start seeing the connections between the Old and the New Testament, you're in trouble. You're on the ropes. You better put up the rope-a-dope. Still, you're going down. We'll be right back talking to Myra Khan Adams. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Myra Khan Adams, whose book is Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible. Myra, we just got a few minutes left in today's program, and I want to ask you about the Shroud of Turin. Kind of controversial, not to me, because I think it's the real thing, and I've had Jerome Corsi on here and others talking about it, but you have a particular relationship with that subject. Go ahead.
Yes, my relationship is I have two ministries relating to the Shroud of Turin. One of them is called signfromgod.org, and the other one is National Shroud of Turin Exhibit.org. And both of them are about Shroud of Turin education. And our Sign from God group was intimately involved in convincing the Museum of the Bible to host an exhibit about the Shroud of Turin that opened February 26, 2022, and closed as scheduled on July 31st, 2022. It was their most popular temporary exhibit they ever had. So for those that don't know what the Shroud of Turin is, it is believed by millions that this 14-long linen sheet, it's a cloth that millions believe actually wrapped the body of Jesus Christ. And on this sheet is an image of a man, a crucified man that is perfect in view of what his body would have looked like, the wounds. It is literally called by many people the fifth gospel because the marks on the body of the man of the Shroud of Turin show all the marks that you read about in the gospels. Now, when you say it's controversial, the only reason it's controversial was because in 1988, there was a carbon dating study that was so flawed and has been so debunked over the centuries that people who don't know about the Shroud, they only know one thing. Oh, it's fake. So that 1988 study, which dated the Shroud to the Middle Ages, what they actually did is they took one little piece of the Shroud that was on one of the corners that had been held up for years, for decades, actually centuries, and they took that one little corner and cut that one little piece into three pieces and sent each of those pieces to different scientific labs, and they all said it was dated from the Middle Ages, but it was completely flawed the way that it was done. The fact they took it from that spot, which they later believe was a backing cloth that was added, But most people who know about the shroud, most people learn about the shroud, the more you learn about it, the more you realize it can't be anything but, because the mysteries are so
unexplainable. Listen, Jerome Corsi, I don't know if you know Jerome Corsi.
Oh, I know. Yes, I do.
He spoke about it at great length on this program a few months ago. If people want to look that up, it is absolutely astonishing. And listen, if it were proved to be a fake, that's not going to change my faith. But boy, the more you look into it, the more you say it doesn't make any sense that this is anything other than the real thing, because there are levels of detail that are just mind-blowing detail.
Science cannot explain it. That's what's so interesting. Science cannot explain the mysteries of the Shroud of Turin, starting with why is there this image of a man who was crucified, whose moons mirror the Gospels? How did that image get there?
The image is not. They know it's not painted. When they look at the fibers, they know it wasn't painted on here. So how did this image get here? What is this? It really is just so fascinating. Well, we're out of time for today only. I'm talking to Myra Khan Adams. Her weekly Bible study appears on Sundays at townhall.com. And the books are titled Bible Study for Those Who Don't Read the Bible. Myra Khan Adams, thanks for being my guest, and we'll have you back very soon. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.